listening to the sermon podcast of Dan Roschke, pastor of Shepherd of the Valley Lutheran Church in La Mesa, California. For more information about Shepherd of the Valley, visit our website at www.svlc.org. But now, here's Pastor Dan and his sermon for today.
Pray always, do not lose heart. Will God find faith on earth? I invite you to join me in a word of prayer now. Gracious and loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of each one of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, for you are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So we just returned, my family and I, from a two-week vacation in Houston, Texas, my hometown. That's where I grew up. We drove. So, at first glance, I think that I can resonate with the way Jesus describes this widow who is continually crying out in this parable, continually almost whining. Our kids gave us a few vivid images from the back seat these last 2 weeks. For the most part, I should say, the kids were great in the car, driving all the way to Houston and back. But on those long days across the West Texas desert, one might have heard in the back seat of the Roschke car, "Daddy, can I have some more? Daddy, why not? Why not? Mommy, Katie's bothering me. Daddy, Micah took my dolly." And of course, the ever popular one, say it with me, "Are we there yet?" Yes, there were those moments. Jesus tells us about a widow who kept coming and asking and pleading and crying also. But she, on the other hand, was not after more candy or rest stops or punishing her little sister. She was after justice. "Grant me justice against my opponent," was her plea. And the widow, it helps to remember, in the ancient Mediterranean world was a symbol. Everyone of that time knew when Jesus brought up the widow, everybody knew that symbol. She was a symbol of injustice, of someone who is on the very edge of the society. She was a symbol of the poor. For widows in those days had no one to advocate for them. They had no one to represent them in court or in life. So she has to advocate for herself. And Jesus tells us the story about how she approached this pretty harsh, cruel judge who didn't care about God, didn't care about people. And she advocates for herself. And Jesus tells us this parable to teach us something about our need to pray always and not to lose heart. The widow was not just a whiner in the back seat who needed a quick fix. The widow was caught at the bottom of a system in which it seemed she had no hope at all of changing. The widow was not a little kid who needed a snack. Sometimes our prayers can sound like that. God. The widow is the woman whose people have had to sit on the back of the bus their whole life. The widow is the man who has been denied by the very church that he loves his entire life because something about him is different. The widow is the teenager who just can't get a break, who's born with two strikes against him, brought up in a violent home, caught up in a dangerous neighborhood, no chance to attend anything but the grossly underfunded schools where his teachers are trying, but they've gotten cynical. 16 years is a long time to yearn for a break. The widow is anyone who has endured hardship for a long, long time. And Jesus uses this searing image to teach us a lesson about prayer. Sometimes prayer doesn't happen on our knees with our hands folded. Sometimes prayer means getting up, uncrossing our hands, and advocating for ourselves,
or even for others. Lord, grant me justice. Grant us all justice. Grant this whole world justice, is our prayer this day.
So our vacation didn't end in the desert of West Texas. We made it, thanks be to God, all the way safely to Houston. And last Sunday, we were at the church where I grew up. We were worshiping in this place, celebrating Dusty and Jean's 40 years together. I was at the church where I grew up, the church where I was confirmed, the church that sent me their newsletter the whole time I was in college, and even though I usually tossed it in the recycle, this was the church that made sure I knew that they were still there, that made sure that they knew that I was still there, that made sure that I knew that I was loved. This was the church that put me, and actually another friend of mine, through seminary, full gift, because they also, like this community, believed in raising up leaders for the church. My friend Linda, who also went through seminary with me, she's now the treasurer of the entire ELCA. So what a gift that that church back in Houston gave. And I get to be your pastor, uncrippled by debt from tuition. Last Sunday, we visited that church where I was ordained, where probably 24 clergy, many of whom had watched me grow up, turned out in their robes and their gray hair to put their hands on my shoulders as the stole was placed over me. What a church. Last Sunday, we went back to that church, and like lots of churches, in the middle of the fall, with the Houston Texans football game against the Rams looming that early afternoon, with everyone so busy in life, that wonderful church, that sanctuary, felt a little bit empty. Some apologized to us that there weren't more people there, that there weren't as many as there used to be. But what really got me were the ones who were still there. Alice Chadwell, Ron Seemers, Marilyn Healy, Kurt Nelson, Sam and Barbara Shonsby, Howard and Judy Bolt, the whole Jansen families, their little kids now in high school and in college, they were all still there. Even Mary Tesla. Some of those are older folks that I named. Some of them were younger as well. They were all still there, showing up. And I'm still talking about praying always and not losing hope. Every Sunday at Salem, name of the church, between services, they still serve a breakfast out of their little rundown kitchen that was brand new when I was growing up. And the people still gather between services every Sunday to study the Bible in two pretty sizable groups for a small congregation. One of the church council members was leading the study. We went to one of those groups, and he started with a simple but a beautiful prayer last Sunday. In the fellowship hall, he said, "Thank you, God, for this day full of grace." And together, the dozen or so people joined in discussing 2 Corinthians. It was nothing flashy, really. Nothing to really write home about. But I was nearly moved to tears as they even bickered a little bit with one another in that Bible study last week. They seemed to be irritating each other with their same old comments that they've been saying for years. Everybody saying what they say, and the others rolling their eyes, kind of embarrassed about who's talking. But they were all still there. And I know many of their stories because I grew up there. I know about lost jobs and lost spouses and lost children. In many ways, like so many, this was yet another congregation of widows. Nothing flashy, but they were still there. Like the song we sang, "Bumbalila, don't give up, never give up." It was like they were hanging on to the back of a train, a bouncy train. The worship service was okay, I guess. Dad preached. Nothing flashy about it. But the people still gathered. "Bumbalila." They prayed for themselves and they prayed for others. And this gospel text today ends with Jesus asking this question: when Christ comes, will he find faith on earth? I think so. In churches like that. And in churches like this. Sometimes a little distance or a lot of distance helps us see what's right under our noses. People gathering, nothing flashy, week after week, year after year, decade after decade, showing up for one another. Sure, irritating each other at times, but never giving up. Supporting one another through good times and through bad. Wrestling with God. We can tell those same stories here in this congregation or wherever you're from, because this isn't about us at the end of the day. It's about God, who is faithful, who has not abandoned us. Jesus' story goes on to tell that this cruel, unjust, self-centered judge granted, in the end, granted that widow justice, and his point is not that God is like that cruel judge, but his point is that if that selfish judge did it, then how much more will God do it for us? We just have to open our eyes and see it. See through the hardship and the bickering and the strikes that are against us. How much more has God already granted us just by virtue of being here this morning, in this space, with this life and breath in our lungs? We just don't see it always. Praying and not losing heart is about seeing the things that are right under our noses and sticking for the long haul. Thank you, God, for this day full of grace. That grace is yours. It's ours as a community of faithful ones who sometimes come crawling around the altar. And that grace is meant to be shared. So bask in it this day, this love of God, sisters and brothers in Christ. Praise God for this grace, and then pass it on. For God's mercy and gracious judgment, Christ's joy and peace is here to stay. Amen.
From all of us at Shepherd of the Valley Lutheran Church, thank you for listening. Check us out again soon. And to learn more about our national church body, Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, visit www.elca.org. Goodbye for now, and remember, God's outpouring of grace and peace never runs dry. Here's to a new day.